Baba Santa. Kibaye Nebesi.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I greet the saints tonight. Tonight we are on day two of the Deliverance Masterclass. Hallelujah. Thank
Amen.
God that you have come. Thank God that you have been able to join. Thank God that
yes,
there's
Lord.
A replay from yesterday's
yes.
session. You can be
yes,
able to
Lord.
Go back in your own time
yes,
and watch
Lord.
The replay and pray and take down notes and meditate on the word of God and pray that the Lord will bring deliverance, not only in your life, but in your family, in your children's
yes,
children. That it starts with you. That
yes.
the new thing that God is doing it will start with you in the name of Jesus. Today
yes,
we have Prophet Nikki Wey Uppington all
yes,
the way
sir.
From King Williamstown.
Yes,
I met Prophet Nikki in 2005. I remember I met her at work. I saw this woman who was on fire for God. I saw this woman who, you know, who loved God so much, and she gathered us at work, and she raised the altar to the Lord in our workplace, and we started to pray every lunch hour. Once a week, we were praying as Christians in the workplace because of her influence. And, you know, this is a woman, when you gather around her, you will receive the impartation, not only for prayer, but for spiritual warfare. I learned, you know, as a been working with her through these years. She has been my mentor all through these years, and she, you know, she carries the mantle of deliverance, and she carries the mantle of spiritual warfare and intercession. So today, I want us to receive this grace today. I want us to receive our hair. I want us to open our hearts today for the Lord to minister to us. The topic for today is how the steps to personal deliverance. So today, we're going to be learning how do I go about doing deliverance for myself, by myself, wherever that I am. So tonight, let us just welcome Prophet Nikki in the house at Kingdom Reformers House. Let us just welcome the Prophet Nikki as she ministers the word of the Lord. Thank you. Over to you, Prophet Nikki.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Zinzi. Thank you very much. Let me take this time to greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I greet the host, Uzinzi. I greet every man and woman of God who is on the platform right now. I'm so grateful to God for me to be part of you this night. I don't take it for granted. And at the same time, I don't take it small, because God is doing a new thing, I believe. This is a season for us to experience the new thing in our lives. We cannot afford to a situation whereby Christ died for us, but we cannot be able to benefit the benefits of the death of Christ and at the same time of his resurrection. Before we continue, I just want us to pray. Let me unmute. Before we pray, I just want us to go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. We are going just to have a short prayer. Ezekiel chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 3. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Sheba, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of the king Joachim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Sheba, and the hand of the Lord was upon them. I just want us to pray this evening, as we're starting this session. There are three things that happened to this scripture that Ezekiel saw. Number one, he saw the heavens open, and he saw the vision of God. And at the same time, number two, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest. And at the same time, number three, the hand of the Lord was upon him there. I just want us to pray based on this scripture that the Lord can open the heavens for us this evening. Whatever we do, let the heavens open for us. And at the same time, let the word of the Lord, whatever we're going to do, let it come expressly to each and every one of us. And at the same time, let the hand of the Lord be upon us so that we can hear, so that we can listen when God speaks. I believe that some of this session is not for the first time, but most of the time, the enemy sometimes shut our ears so that we don't listen. I want us to pray this evening. My Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you. I give you the praise and the glory and the worship that you are God. Mighty God, Father, thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you, Father, for this appointment with you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, mighty God, Father, mighty God, as we're praying at this particular time, mighty God, Father, I pray for the open heavens. Let every one of us right now experience the open heavens, mighty God, this night, in the name of Jesus Christ, mighty God. And Father, right now, I pray again, mighty God, that your words will come expressly to each and everyone who is on this platform. Your word will come expressly, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. And above all, let your hand be upon each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, right now, Holy Spirit, take over. Holy Spirit, be the one who guide us. Holy Spirit, be the one who lead us. Holy Spirit, be the one who direct us. Holy Spirit, be the one who convict us, because we know, mighty God, that the ministry of deliverance, mighty God, has nothing to do with a person, has something to do with you. And therefore, Holy Spirit, here we stand in your presence. Therefore, it's not about our might and power, but it's about you, Holy Spirit. And we thank you, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let me take this time again to welcome every one of you in this session of personal deliverance or personal steps or steps to personal deliverance. You know, most of the time, I think every one of us is asking, why personal deliverance? Why is it that we cannot start with the corporate? All of us, we can encounter that deliverance. You know, there is something about a person, because everything begins with a person. If there's something wrong with a person, automatically there will be something wrong with the family, or there will be something wrong with the marriage. And when there's something wrong with the marriage, there's something wrong with the family, there's something wrong with the community, there's something wrong with the city, and above all, there's something wrong with the nation. Everything went wrong because of a person. That's why it's so important for us, you know, to deal with a person first. Everything, when my marriage is out of order or is chaotic, or when my marriage is good, it begins with me or it begins with my husband. So that's why we are undergoing these personal steps or these personal steps to deliverance. Hallelujah. And again, I just want us to understand or to know that, especially in this season, God is just looking for a vessel. He's looking for a vessel that he can use. God wants to use as vessel. The vessel that will reveal his glory. The vessel that is going to usher his glory. Usher his glory first in himself or herself, and then the family in every area where we are. God is just looking for a vessel. I believe every one of us is praying for revival. And I know and I believe that revival is not only about us praying. It has nothing to do with prayer. It has nothing to do with all the conferences that we are mobilizing. It has nothing to do with all the gatherings that we have. Revival is about a person. It's about a person, you know, laying down his life to God. It's about a person taking his life and surrender everything to God. It's about a holy vessel unto God. That is why we are here at this particular time in this class. That God can use us, that God can make us to be those vessels that are going to be holy, for he said in his word, you shall be holy therefore, For I, the Lord, am holy. I have separated you apart for you to be mine. That is what God did to us, that he has chosen us. He has separated us for us to be his. That is why it's so important for us to deal with ourselves, for us to deal with our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And therefore, as we're coming to the steps to our personal deliverance, there's so much that Mama Lorette spoke yesterday, spoke about generally about the biblical deliverance, so that every one of us understand that whatever we're doing here right now, it has nothing to do with us, but it has something to do with the word of God. And the word of God is the highest authority above all, above us, even above his name. So as we're coming before God right now, I want us to come to understand that. And therefore, as we're beginning the steps to our deliverance or our personal deliverance, number one, the very first step that you have to know whenever you are or you want to be free, you need to believe first in the concept of deliverance. You need to be, that is the very first step, believe in that concept of deliverance. And we know in the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. There's nothing in the kingdom of God without each and every one of us believing to that particular thing, believing to the word of God, believing to God, believing to Christ. So we need to believe first in deliverance. And why do we need to believe in deliverance? Deliverance is in the word of God. In the book of Obadiah, I want to read again the book of Obadiah, verse 17. There's only one chapter. He's saying, but on Mount Zion is the church, there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possession. We are supposed to benefit from the death of Christ. We are supposed to benefit from the resurrection of Christ as the church. In Mount Zion, there is deliverance. Before any form of holiness, there should be deliverance. And it is only then that we will be able to possess our possessions. But I believe Ukuthi at this particular time, every one of us has to ask himself or herself a question. Am I possessing my possession? Am I be where God wants me to be? Am I be in a position whereby I'm able to possess, or am I able to advance the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. That is the very first point. And the very second point is, you need to acknowledge that you need deliverance. That is acknowledging, to acknowledge, to recognize that really I need this deliverance. You know, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, it is said that, I mean, Satan is so cunning, you know. In bondage on its own, bondage is so deceptive. When it comes to you, it is so deceptive. That's why it's so important for us to acknowledge first. It's rare for people to acknowledge their problems. If you can just look, or for example, in my house, a drunken man can come inside and I will say to him, you are drunk. The person who is drunk will never acknowledge that I am drunk. He will say, you are just silly. Because not a single one of us has ever admitted that I'm having a problem. Everything begins there. Sometimes you'll find that a person is hating other people. But when you sit down with him, he doesn't acknowledge that I'm hating. He doesn't acknowledge that I'm this and that and that. Because why? A bondage is so deceptive. Satan, when he wants to put you bound, he will deceive you as if this thing that you are doing is good, as if this thing that you are doing is godly. That's why it's so important that you acknowledge that you need deliverance, secondly. And then thirdly, I want us to understand also that we have history. And at the same time, there are a lot of things that we did. And therefore, it's so important for us to search our records. Search your records. Look back, you know. Just before you move forward, just begin to stop and look back. You're just looking at yourself right now. You're just looking at your family right now. You're just looking at the people who are around you. You're just looking at even your forefathers. You just have to look back, you know. And then when you look back, or as you look back, you have to introspect yourself. Look at the things that you're doing, your personal records. What are your personal records? The lies that you've been speaking. Lies are so deceptive also. A person will lie, but at the end of the day, will never say or admit that I am lying. Let us come before God and reason. I believe that one of the things that God is doing this week is saying to us, come, let us reason together. So lies is one of the personal records that you are supposed to look at this particular time. You know, you will lie most of the time. We lie. Lying, it becomes sometimes a lifestyle. You'll find that you are doing something, or you are in a place, you know, in that particular place, it's only when you lie that you'll be accepted. But anytime you speak the truth, you are not accepted. Just look at those things. The areas of unforgiveness, the areas of bitterness, the areas of offense that we always carry every single day, the wounds that are in our hearts. These are the things that are opening the door for Satan, you know. The sexual immorality, all those issues there, the sexual perversion, pride. We need to look at those things, you know. You know, I like the Bible, you know, when it's speaking about sexual immorality, there are things that even the word of God will not only say, repent, will not only say, pray about it. The only thing that the word of God will say is flee from sexual immorality. These are the things that we need to look at, especially at this particular time, because these are the entry points for Satan in our lives. Hatred, you hate people. And you cannot, I mean, you cannot do anything. You don't know why you're hating people. But because Satan is hating, remember, Satan hates God. He hates God. And therefore, he will inflict in us, or he will transfer in us the spirit of hate. And therefore, you end up hating other people. So these are the things that we need to look at ourselves, especially this week. And then again, Mama Loretta yesterday spoke about few gates, some of the gates or the entry points. He mentioned the eyes. You know, sometimes you need to watch, to look at what you are watching, you know. What is it that you are watching every single day? What is it that you are watching in your community? What is it that you are watching in media, in social media, every single day? What is it that you feed yourself with every single day? Sometimes that is coming from media, sometimes that is coming from TV, sometimes that is coming from social media. What is it that you are feeding on? Remember, you know, as you begin to watch something for a long time, it conceives. And as it conceives, it's going to give birth to something. As you watch something, you feed yourself with pornography. You feed yourself with all the programs that all the soapies, for example. When you look in our soapies, you'll find that, I mean, there is not a single soapie where there is no homosexuality. The more you watch, the more you conceive, and at the same time, the more you give birth to that which you are watching. That's why it's so important for us to watch. I mean, to watch the things, whether it's good or bad, but what is important is that it's going to conceive something, number one. And then again, what is it that we're listening to every single day? What is it that you're listening to? Remember, especially in these days, Satan is using music, and at the same time, is using celebrities to usher certain spirits in our lives. And he is using that through music. He is ushering spirits in our lives through music, meaning that music is a mode of transportation, is a mode of transport for certain spirits in our lives. So it end up, whatever you're listening to, it end up being a womb, the womb that is going to conceive what you're watching. And then as it is conceiving what you're watching, it is also going to give birth to that which you're watching. And before you realize, you will find yourself manifesting. I mean, especially with young people, before you realize, our young people, all of a sudden, every single, when they're washing dishes, whatever they do, they are always having earphones. And there is a music that is playing. We need to know and see what is it that you are watching, especially you are listening to, especially at this particular time, as it will always give rise or give birth to something that we won't want at the end of the day. Again, what is it? For example, we are using what God has made us or given us, reproductive organs. We are having, I'm having vagina because I'm a female. And another one is having a penis because it's a male, you know. Most of the time, we find ourselves having sex before marriage. Whereas in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 24, God said in the word, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one. And that word is not referring to anyone who is not married. Sex is for people who are married. And they become one. Whenever you are involved in sex, it is not only about love. It is not only about emotions. It is about spiritual. You involve your spirituality. There are soul ties. There are a lot of spiritual diseases, whether it's emotional diseases, spiritual diseases, and biological diseases. All of them, they come through sexual immorality. Just imagine when you open your sexual organs to the enemy. Remember also the enemy, most of the time, he deploys people whenever he wants to achieve something. He deploys people. There are people who are deployed in your life. And sometimes it will be a male. Sometimes it will be a female. But just because they know their star, Satan knows sometimes our stars. But whenever he deploys somebody to you, he will ensure that you will be involved in sex. So that through that, something happened. He will steal something in you. You know, he will steal your destiny. He will steal your purpose, the purpose of God about your life. So that's why it's so important for us to understand the ways in which Satan enters our lives through sexual organs. That's how he enters our lives. And then again, another area is navel. Navel is about where you are coming from. Remember, every one of us is connected to, I'm connected to my mother. My children are connected to me. I mean, through this neighbor, there's an umbilical cord. So we are connected to each other. You know, whatever flows from me, everything that comes from my blood, you know, it is already going straight to my children. They carry whatever is in me. So it is so important for you to know where you are coming from. Who are your parents? Who are your grandparents? Is very, very important, especially at this particular time. Because every lineage is having a package. Every lineage, the lineage where you are coming from, there is a package from that lineage. Whether it's a positive package or a negative package. In the book of Genesis, chapter 14, we have seen a positive package through Abraham. When Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek, and immediately when there was that transgression, transaction between the two of them, there were blessings. Isaac was not born, but he was automatically blessed. Jacob was not yet born, but he was automatically blessed. Because why? Abraham, they are coming from a blessed family, you know. So these are the things that we need to look at this particular time. And then again, even when you are coming from a caste, not necessarily a caste, a family that has committed sin before God. For example, if you can just check in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27, we see here the story of Naaman. And at the same time, it's Naaman, Gehazi, and Elisha. And then here is Elisha speaking to Gehazi, that is the servant. You know, after he went after Naaman, looking for money. And then he's saying in verse 27, therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence with lepers as white as snow. This is the curse that was released by Elisha to his servant because of transgression. I mean, because he transgressed, you know, he did something that he was not supposed to do. And therefore, he released a curse. Can you imagine the family? Can you imagine the children, the children's children of Naaman? They are already leprous. They are going to experience leprosy because of the curse. These are the things that we need to look at, especially in our lives, you know. And at the same time, what is your parents? What is it that they are worshiping? What are your parents worshiping? What were your grandparents worshiping? Remember in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13. Verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. We need to understand that God is jealous, is a jealous God. Anything that we worship beside God, anything that our parents worship before God, it's an abomination to God. So these are the things that we're supposed to check. What are your parents worshiping? In Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. In this issue of parents, in this issue of grandparents, what is it that they're worshiping? Where did they go? What is that they're consulting? Are they consulting the living God, the true living God, or are they consulting their own gods? In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those land, of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter to pass through fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omen, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 18 from verse 9 is listing all the things that we're not supposed to consult. Consulting the dead, consulting the spiritists, reading the stars, looking for your future, you know, upon the stars or in whatever way, you know. These are the things that God warned us not to be able, not to worship them or not to consult them. The soothsayer, the sorcerers, the witches, all these are the things that God is calling abomination. So you are going to check as well, reading the scriptures, as we are continuing in this teaching, you're going to check as for you, where do you fit? You are just going to look at yourself at this particular time. Just look at the whether your parents, your great-grandparents has ever consulted sangomas, has ever consulted witch doctors, has ever consulted the dead, what is actually happening around you right now. There are also churches, you know, churches that that worship, that go near the water, you know, for them to worship. They worship the marine spirits. There are churches that are doing that. Are you part of that? Or what are your parents doing at this particular time? These are the things that you're not supposed to do. Because all these, they enter, or they are entry points for Satan. That's how Satan enters your life. That's how he gets legal rights in your life. And therefore, what is going to happen when you do those things? You'll find yourself having dreams. You'll be dreaming bad dreams. You cannot be a child of God and have bad dreams. You cannot be a child of God and eat whilst you're sleeping. You cannot be a child of God and dream snakes biting you or chasing you. There's something wrong with that. It's because you need to know that something went wrong in your life. And at the same time, this spirit again, they open the door for spiritual spouse before you realize there is a person that you're sleeping with in the evening. You know, you don't remember. Sometimes you're not even a married, you know, but for certain reason, you find yourself sleeping with somebody that is a spiritual spouse, and it's not supposed to happen. And then again, there will be limitations in your life. You'll find that you are moving around one area. You have all the qualifications that you have, but you cannot move forward. These are limitations, you know, and this is supposed to wake you up, or to make a wake-up call to you that there's something that you need to do. And at the same time, the demons will be ascending and descending in your life, you know. So the demons will be ascending and descending in your life. Immediately when you open the door, remember, Satan is not powerful, but Satan doesn't have any power over your life. Satan is having power only when there is a door that is open. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, God is saying to Cain, and Cain was angry. And he said to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you don't do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is to rule over you, and therefore rule over it. So every now and again, we open the door. Every now and again, you know, we do all these things. There is a door that is going to be open. And its desire is for Satan to enter our lives and at the same time rule our lives. Hallelujah. And then again, another step that you need to take as a child of God is confession. Confess any known sin, whatever sin that you know, and even that which you don't know. Sometimes there are things that we do and we don't know that you are doing it. We don't know that they are wrong. Just confess that sin before God. Put it on the table. Put it on God. And God is going to deal with it. In the book of Psalm 66, verse 18. Excuse me. Verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. If you are so cozy, you know, with sin or with evil, the Lord will never ever listen to you. That's why it's so important for you to confess your sin. And in James chapter 5, is also talking about confession. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's so important for us to confess our sins before God. And then number 5, Repentance. Repentance is very, very important. You know, most of the time, or many a times you say you are repenting before God, but that repentance doesn't show. That repentance doesn't have any fruit, because in each and every repentance, there should be fruit of repentance. To say, I'm so sorry, is not enough to God. We cannot be like Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, before he realized, he just said, "Yo, I betrayed an innocent man." And therefore he threw those pieces of silver and went to hang himself. That is not a repentance. Repentance before God is very, very important. It's godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, if you can just read there, you know. Okay, let us go to 2 Corinthians. Repentance is sorrow. You are having sorrow. You feel so hurt that you have offended God. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians. Oh, okay. Verse 7, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now, rejoice, not that you were made sorrow, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorrow in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So whenever you have that godly sorrow, that is the type of repentance that God is looking for. When you repent before God, you know, you cry. When you repent before God, you know, you are so remorseful when you repent before God. When you repent before God, you are broken. Your heart is broken. You feel that really you grieved the Holy Spirit when you repent before God. That is a type of repentance. You cry before God. You wail before God. You weep before God when you are repenting before God. You mourn. Blessed are those in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When you bring before God such repentance, you are going to be comforted by God. So that is why it's so important for us to repent before God. You remember the prodigal son? Immediately when he realized in Luke chapter 15, immediately when he realized that he cannot move further, immediately when he came to his senses, after taking everything from his father, he said, immediately when he realized that there is hunger, there is everything surrounding him, he said, the only thing that I will do, I will go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against you. I'm therefore not worthy to be called your son. Make me to be one of your servants. That is the type of repentance. He left the place and went to the father. And the father welcomed him because he could see the fruit of repentance to his son. He could see that there is mourning. He is mourning for his actions. We need to mourn for our actions, saints. We really need to mourn when we are repenting. We rend our hearts, not our garments. You know, we tell the devil how much we hate him, and you'll never be part of him. You'll never be part of his scheme again. Repentance is powerful, is one of the powerful weapons that we can be able to defeat Satan. Repentance. That is why it's so important for us to repent. And it is a key to our restoration. It is a key to our restoration. And when we do that, God will never despise you. God will never despise you. In Psalm chapter 51, verse 16 to 17. Thank you, Jesus. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I will give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of the Lord are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Bazalwana, God will never despise the sacrifices that are coming from a broken heart. God will never, ever despise a person who has a contrite spirit, who has a broken spirit, who has a broken heart, who made his heart to be vulnerable before God. These are the sacrifices that God is looking for. And you know, when you repent truly before God, you feel that you are light after repentance. You feel that every load that was on top of your shoulders, every load that was in your head, over your head, is gone. Because why? Because of true repentance. And therefore, immediately when you do that, you ensure that you turn away that from that wicked ways. Hallelujah. You repent until you feel light before God. You repent. And when you know that there's somebody that you have not forgiven, you forgive. You forgive everyone who offended you. There are a lot of people who offended us, who is offending us every single day. And most of them, we justify our offense. We justify our forgiveness. We justify our anger. We justify our fortress and our hatred and our bitterness. And all our wounds, we justify. But God is saying, forgive. Actually, God doesn't even hear. God doesn't even listen to your prayers when you don't forgive other people. When you pray, forgive. God doesn't even want your offering, actually. God doesn't want, you know, whatever you're bringing unto him, you know, until such time you go back and forgive the people that offended you. These are the things that you're supposed to be doing before God. Pray for those who persecute you. Love those who hate you. That's what Matthew chapter 5 from verse 43 upwards is saying. We need to love people of God, regardless of what they're doing, regardless of who they are. We just need to love them. And then another step after repentance, renounce the covenants with Satan. Renounce every covenant that you made. The covenants and curses, you need to renounce them. With Satan, with occult, with the powers of darkness, especially if you happen to make the vows and promises. We need to renounce those covenants. We need to renounce, you know, every area where you know that you have offended God with. If you know that, you consulted the dead. If you know that you've been consulting sangomas, consulting the dead. You renounce the spirit of sexual immorality. You renounce perversion. You renounce homosexuality. You renounce pornography. Everything that you know, you say pornography, I renounce you. Sexual immorality, I renounce you. Spirit of lust, spirit of seduction, I renounce you. Because whenever you are involved in sexual immorality, it also opens door for other spirits like lust and seduction. So you have to renounce those spirits in the name of Jesus. Hatred, depression, anxiety. Just renounce those spirits in the name of Jesus. And then after you renounce them, you need to release yourself from those spirits. Release yourself. Cast those spirits away from you. Cut yourself loose from those spirits. Break those spirits in your life. Break the spirit of idolatry. Break the spirit of immorality. Break the spirit of of hatred. Break the spirit, you know, spirit of pornography. Break the spirit of seduction. Break every spirit that has entered your life. You break it by the power of the blood of Jesus. And then again, another step is to believe on the foundation of your deliverance. There is only one foundation of your deliverance. It's the finished work of Calvary. That is the main foundation. We are delivered. All of us are delivered because of the finished work of Calvary. So you need to believe in that. In the book of First Colossians, chapter 12, verse 14. First Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14. Verse 12 to verse 14. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That is the foundation. We have been delivered. That is the foundation of your deliverance. We have been delivered from the power of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love, to Christ Jesus, to the kingdom of God. And at the same time, it is the blood of Jesus that made it possible for us to be delivered. It is the blood of Jesus. He redeemed us from those powers of darkness. And then in chapter 2 of the same book of Colossians, in verse 13 to verse 15, and you being dead in your trespass, and the circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, for having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Every handwriting of requirement that Satan had against us has been blotted out by the blood of Jesus. This is our foundation. And then in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. In Christ Jesus, that we must receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is the basis, that is the foundation of our deliverance. He became a curse so that we are not cursed. He was rejected so that we are accepted. He was despised, he was wounded. That's what happened to Christ because of us. That is the foundation of your repentance, especially at this particular time. And then again, another step is to apply the blood of Jesus in your life to cleanse you, to purify you, to sanctify you. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. Let the blood sanctify your thoughts. Let the blood of Jesus Christ purify, you know, your heart. Let the blood of Jesus Christ sanctify your soul. Whatever mess your soul up, let the blood of Jesus Christ purify it. You know, let the blood of Jesus Christ purify it. And then again, another thing you need to understand is that Satan doesn't give up so easy. Satan doesn't give up so easy. And therefore, What are you supposed to be doing after that? After you have done all these things, the last one is to resist Satan. Actually, you first submit to God. Submit to God. How do you submit to God? You meditate on the word of God day and night. David is saying in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word, Lord, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hide the word of God in your heart. That's how you submit to God. That's how you submit to God. And then again, you need to submit to God by obeying the word of God. Obey the word of God. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. You obey the word of God. You walk in his statute. This is how you submit, I mean, to God. And then again, what you're supposed to be doing, again, you're supposed to resist the enemy. Resist the enemy. Resist Satan. Through prayer, you pray. You pray a lot. You pray a lot. You take the word of God. You pray a lot. You pray a lot. Pray. Prayer is a key. Prayer is one of our keys. Pray, my sister. Pray, my brother. That is how you ensure that this house is a house of prayer. Actually, that's how you ensure that this is an altar of God. There will be fire on the altar. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13, the fire shall be kept burning at all times. You will never see, when, for example, if you take your stove and you switch it on, your stove, your electric stove, doesn't matter what type of stove, but immediately when it becomes hot, you never see any fly coming closer to your stove. That's how it is even in your life. Whenever there is heat, whenever there is fire in your life, you will never be able to see Satan coming closer to you. The reason why sometimes Satan comes closer to us is because it is so cold. And therefore, he's able to put whatever he wants to put on your head. He's able to inject whatever he wants to inject in your mind. And then you end up losing it. And First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray. Pray. It's also one of the weapons, one of the garments, one of the pieces, you know, the pieces of spiritual warfare in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. One of prayer is one of the pieces that you're supposed to have every single day of your life. And therefore, after that, you fast, you do fasting. So important for us to fast, as a man. It's so important for us to fast. It's very, very important for us to fight. And I want to tell you right now, should you do those things? Should you practice all these steps? I don't care who says what. You will never ever experience any trace of the enemy, because Satan doesn't have any power over us. And above all, Jesus Christ is saying in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he's saying, behold, I've given you authority over the serpents, over the scorpions, over the powers of darkness, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There is nothing that will ever come closer to you. Whenever you deal with those spirits, whenever you took these steps, whenever you confront the enemy and you stand, you repent, you do all these steps, confessing your sin. If you know that there's something that I'm forgotten, if you know that you once even committed abortion, abortion is murder. We need to understand that. And God said, you shall not murder. You know, it might be a law in some of the nations. It might be one of the bills in our nation, one of the laws in our nation. It might be permitting us, but it's not permitted by God. God is saying it's an abomination. It's one of the abominations because it's a murder of a person. So if you know that you once undergo or you once committed it, you need to come before God and say, Lord, forgive me for forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I know that I committed it. So these are the very steps that you have to take in order for you to be free, in order for you to benefit the benefits of the cross. There are benefits in the cross. Whenever you are a child of God, whenever you are saved, whenever you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, there are benefits. In the book of Psalm 103, here are those benefits. That's why David always say, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is our last scripture as we are closing. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. These are the benefits of the cross. These are the benefits of the death of Christ. Forgiveness of sin, healing of sicknesses and diseases, redemption from destruction, you know, crowning us with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfying our mouth with good things. These are the benefits of this kingdom. These are the benefits of this kingdom. When you took all these steps, you will be able to confront the enemy. But if one of these steps is missing, especially in the area of forgiveness, in the area of repentance, confession of the sin, you know, renunciation, I don't want to lie, you will be able to face Satan, because anytime Satan is looking at you, he is looking at the jacket, at his jacket that you are wearing. Just like the time Joshua was praying in the book, or was standing before God in the book of Zechariah chapter 3, you know. And as he was standing before God, the angel of the Lord, the angel of Satan, let's go to Zechariah chapter 3. This is our last scripture. We don't want to experience that. We don't have to have that experience. Now, Joshua, okay, from this one. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand blood from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. How I pray that this night, as from this night, you won't be standing before God with filthy garments. How I pray that this night, anytime we come before God, anytime we come in the presence of God, we'll be coming in the presence of God with holy hands and at the same time with clean hearts. David is saying, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He with clean hands and pure heart. This is my prayer for each and every one of us right now, that as we approach, as we stand before the throne of God, we stand with clean hands and pure heart at this particular time. I believe that you were praying. I believe that you happened to identify all the areas that you are struggling with. I believe that you happen to identify them. But at this particular time, as you identify them at this particular time, I also want us to come before God. You know, as a person, as we are praying, I want us to pray together, if possible. I want us to pray to come before God. Based on everything that you hate. Okay. Based on everything that you hate this evening, I want you to come before God. right now. Just look at your heart. Just look at your hands. Just look at your thoughts in your mind. What is it that you are thinking? And the people that you are carrying every day. And at the same time, the things that are in your past, the things that you committed before God. I want us to come before God right now and pray. And as we're praying at this particular time, you know, I want us just firstly, I want us to pray, all of us. And thereafter, we're going to pray, I mean, one by one. Can you just come before God right now and pray? Can you please unmute? Just come before God. Look at yourself right now and identify. Just look at yourself in all these steps or in all the things that we said. Just identify. Just look at where you are when, as a person. Where are you? Where are you? Where do you find yourself in all these steps that you have mentioned? In all these steps, where do you find yourself? I want us to come before God right now. Just, if possible, you can unmute and pray loud before God. Let us pray. My Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty God, Father, I want to thank you. Mighty God, I give you the praise, I give you the glory. I give the worship that you are God. Father, you are a good God. You are a faithful God. And you never betray your faithfulness. That's what was said in your word. As faithful as you are, you will never betray your faithfulness. You are always faithful to us. And you will never even betray, mighty God, you as God. You will never betray your truth. You will never betray any word that comes from you because you are God. And today, Father, as we're coming to God before this night, Father, we know that
We are broken, Father, today. We are still God who heals. You're still God who restores. David is saying, He restores my soul. Father, you're God who restores our soul. It doesn't matter how broken it is, restore it, Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, mighty God. And today, Father, we believe. Mighty God, the power, we believe on the finish work of Calvary. Mighty God, let the finish work of Calvary, let the blood of Jesus, mighty God, break all us. Let the blood of Jesus Christ break for some every wickedness, break for some, mighty God, every evil, break every abomination that we did before you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, mighty God. We bless your name. We honor your name. We glorify your name, mighty God. And even namhlanje nkosiyami, at this time, as we are going to sleep, as we are about to go to sleep, oh Father, it is my prayer that as we are sleeping, you speak to us. Speak to us about even the things that happened to us. Speak to us, oh mighty God. Even remind us, Holy Spirit. Remind us even the things that we did to other people. Mighty God, sometimes when we do things, sometimes when we act against the people, we're not aware. But remind us as we're sleeping, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Let everything come to the surface. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, my heavenly Father, mighty God. Lord, I know that you are still God. We will never break your covenant. You made a covenant with us. And Father, that covenant that you made with us, it will never be broken. And therefore, Father, that is why we are coming back to you. That is why we are coming back to the fountain of the living water. That is why we are coming back to the cross, mighty God. And as we come to the cross, restore us, oh Lord, and we'll be restored. Save us, oh Lord, and we'll be saved. Heal us, oh Father, and we'll be healed. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Father, I honor your name, I glorify your name. In the name Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. 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 I think just for a few minutes or for 2 minutes, I don't know whether there is anyone who is having any question or something that he or she doesn't understand as we were dealing with the steps of deliverance. If you are here, can you just raise your hand, whether you raise your hand electronically? Or you just unmute and speak, whether you're on Facebook or on Zoom. I just want us to just anything, any point of clarity, anything that you want us to or to clarify, can you just raise your hand and then you speak? Anyone? Bumi, I can't hear you. Bumi, can you speak loud?
Hello, Mama. Hi, Mama. Another question. You know, busy coffee, Angie.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Otherwise, to me, everything was clear.
Everything is clear. Okay. Is there anyone? Okay, on that point, may I ask, let me see. May I ask, Google, will you please pray for us? Can you just pray? Can you just lead us into prayer?
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Chikoweto Pilileyo. Tito wetu na mandla onke makazaya labo shede. What an honor, what a privilege. Chixo wethu onamandla onke to be seated down by you, Helebesia la Shakataya, revealing secrets, Makataya labo shekete, that sets us free. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Indeed, oh God, your word will never come back to you void. You came, you sent your word to heal us. You sent your word to set us free. Siyabulela Chixo wethu Amanda, for this deliverance that you have been doing in this place and that you are going to continue to do as Mpilweni Zetu. Indeed, we shall possess our possessions. Haya bakazaya laboshaya, hilamaya labosia labashakadaya. Receive glory, Lord. Receive honor. Receive praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Sisa kuwe chiko wetu na manda, we lay all that we are. Hilama shisa yalabo santa. We thank you for delivering us. We can stand in boldness and say, Shizomkhonza uThixo. We shall, oh God, come before you, Heavenly Father, holy, for you are making us holy with your word. When Paul says, we shall present our bodies as the living sacrifice, that is holy and acceptable. Your word, oh God, is qualifying us now, for it is delivering us that our sacrifice may be acceptable to you. Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you. Father, we respect you. Father, we glorify your name. Receive glory, Lord. Receive honor. We thank you. We appreciate you. We can never thank you enough, oh God, for what you are doing for us, for the doors of favor that you are opening for us to hear the good news that set us free. All glory, honor, and praise belong to you, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I think let me take this time to hand over to Ozins. I think even my battery is about to come to an end. My battery is about to be off. I don't know, because of electricity. I recently had a load shedding. May I hand over to Zinzi before my battery runs off?
Okay, yes, I'm here. I'm here, Mamuniki. Thank you very much, Prophet Nikki, for this profound message on steps to personal deliverance. As we come out of this Zoom meeting, as we come out of this Facebook Live meeting, we're going to make sure that we pray according to the scriptures, and we're going to be praying according to those steps, because I believe that we all want to be delivered. We all want to be set free. There is no way we will spend our time here for nothing. And the Lord will, you know, make sure, the Lord will honor and answer those prayers for our deliverance. And I pray that the Lord will continue to minister deliverance to us, even in the dreams, that the Lord will show you dreams of things that you need to be cut from, of things that happened in your past, that you need to be cut away from those things. So today I pray that the Lord will continue the deliverance. Even when you wake up tomorrow morning, let there be continual deliverance. And tomorrow we are having day 3 of the masterclass on deliverance. Tomorrow the topic is our steps to corporate deliverance. Yes, today we've been going through steps for personal deliverance. And after you've been delivered personally, now we need to have deliverance corporately for organizations, for churches, for families. So tomorrow we are continuing and we are doing the last class. So make sure that you are here, you set your timers, you set your buzzers, so that at 8 o'clock you are here. If you missed day 1 and if you missed day 2, you can still go back and do the replays. You will find all the replays on our
our social media, Facebook Live, Facebook group called Kingdom Reformers Prophetic Dance Activation. You can go back then and do all the replays and pray along as you are doing the replays. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming and for, you know, blessing us with your time. Thank you very much, Prophet Nikki, for your sacrifice. May the Lord continually bless you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord cause you to experience his shalom in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we are saying shalom. We are closing the class for tonight, but let deliverance not be closed. Let deliverance continue in your lives in Jesus' mighty name. See you tomorrow at 8 p.m. sharp. Bye. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. See you tomorrow at 8 p.m. for day 3. Shalom.
Thank you, Zinzi.
Hallelujah.
Bye.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hi, Zinzi. Just a question.
Okay.
Are we doing in a deliverance when we deliver other people besides the corporate and stuff like
that? I can't hear you clearly. You seem to be breaking.
Okay. Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
I'm asking if there will be a deliverance, something, course or training or presentation on how to deliver someone besides just your own personal deliverance, but conducting deliverance on someone.
Oh, okay. Now you want to know if we will have another session for someone who wants to become a deliverance minister. I think if I get you clear. Unfortunately, now we are just focusing on personal deliverance and also corporate deliverance. But for sure, in the future, we can be able to, you know, to make a follow-up class to train those who want to be ministers of deliverance. For sure, that will be a class on its own because it will not be just one session. It will need a lot of sessions for us to do that. So for sure, we will do a follow-up. We will consider your question, and we will, you know, do a follow-up on that. Thank you very much for that question. Thank you.
Sure, sister. Thank you.
Shalom, saints.